Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Trump got speaking out on what the Senate is doing to stack the court and not doing for American workers. Healthcare workers win after a 10-day strike in Chicago. Teachers walk out in Little Rock, Arkansas. The debate last night, in one word, chaotic. And today on the show, the Union of Unemployed and what VIP stands for in the trades. Good afternoon and welcome to the Wednesday, September 30th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. And don't forget our Twitter handle. You can follow us there, AWF Union Podcast. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to check in with Rick Sloan. We've had Rick on the show at least maybe once or twice over the last 4 or 5 years. He was affiliated for a number of years, 10 of them, with the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, a good friend of Tommy Buffenberger, our current independent voice on the show. He worked with the machinists from 2000 to 2012. He's also the author, I'm counting now, 4 books. Last time we had him on the show, he was talking about The Revenge of America's Unemployed. That came out 3 years ago, and it detailed how 30 million Americans who were unemployed, underemployed, and uncounted during the Great Recession roiled national politics from 2007 to 2016. And he explained how their anger and frustration actually led to Hillary Clinton's defeat. It was quite fascinating. He is now retired, and what he has done, he's updated his Union of Unemployed, and he's figured out this. COVID-19 will leave one-fifth of the American workforce unemployed. One-fifth. Either unemployed, underemployed, or uncounted for in the remainder of 2020. So, unemployment, as defined by many who study it, will exceed 40 million Americans on Election Day, which is just weeks away. With that being said, there's a lot of people upset. And whose watch is this happening on right now? Donald Trump. And he's going to talk about the debate tonight, which, like I said, was pretty chaotic. I'll get into that in a moment. But Rick is what he's essentially done is put together a chart, kind of taking a look at what's gone on in America, especially in 2020 with the pandemic. And because of the anxiety, the unemployment that's going on, it's going to go into Joe Biden's lap. He says Joe Biden is pretty much going to win by a landslide. 76 million votes. That's what he's figuring on right now. So he'll be our first guest. Our second guest, we're bringing Mike Hazard back to the show. Mike is with the United Association of Plumbers, Fitters, HVAC Technicians. And he's speaking on behalf of the United Association, UA.org. Primarily, we're going to get into the Veterans in Piping program, which is directly affiliated with the United Association. The program is a pre-apprenticeship deal offered by active duty transitioning military service members. And once they complete the program and transition out of service, graduates are provided job placement with a UA contractor and gain direct entry into the UA apprenticeship program. Really great idea. You got a lot of people, like I just mentioned, that are unemployed. They served in the military. They want a good job. Well, I'll tell you, they're available. There's actually 6 welding programs, 2 dealing with heating and cooling, ventilation, and there's 1 fire sprinkling fitter program. This is a nationwide job placement program, and Mike's going to give us all the details, how you can get in, who's eligible, what are the benefits, and how this compares to other programs like helmets to hard hats. We'll get into all of that as our second guest right here on America's Workforce. Well, a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court demands a thoughtful, fair, and deliberate process that honors we the people. Instead, with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell completely reversing his position from 2016 and Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham abandoning his promise to let the next president make the nomination, we are now in a store for a sham from a Senate devoid of both rules and integrity. That statement today from Richard Trumka, president of the AFL-CIO. He goes on to say that working families know the profound impact this jurist will have on generations to come, in reference to Amy Coney Barrett. That's why it's so disappointing that President Trump and the Senate Republican majority have conspired to rush through her nomination to the highest court in the land. Barrett's record demonstrates a clear disdain for worker rights, and her confirmation would push the most corporate-friendly Supreme Court in history further into the pockets of the wealthy elite. Working people's wages, health care, job safety, civil rights, and the freedom to form a union will be undermined if she is confirmed. Barrett is the wrong person at the wrong time. And then Trumka goes on saying, instead of orchestrating a Supreme Court power grab, McConnell should schedule a vote on the HEROES Act so we can provide long overdue COVID-19 relief to a country in crisis. So they're posting this number to call your U.S. senators urging passage of the HEROES Act. It's 866-832-1560. Call them today, 866-832-1560. It's my understanding that the Democrats have whittled down their proposal, which came out in mid-May at over $3 trillion to $2.2 trillion. Maybe it's going to get some play. I don't know. I understand there may be a compromise at work. We'll find out, and we need it. I mean, today's the deadline for the Surface Transportation Act. It runs out of money at midnight tonight, and then the airlines, the money that propped up the airlines for the last 6 months ends at midnight tonight. We could see 40,000 airline workers out of work because Congress hasn't done anything, nothing at all. Healthcare workers, including nurses and other workers at the University of Illinois Medical Center in Chicago, won a tentative agreement after 10 days on strike. Some 40,000 members, this is SEIU Local 73, and 1,300 members of the Illinois Nurses Association, the INA, had been out on strike demanding safer conditions for nurses, workers, and patients, fair wages, and appropriate staffing ratios. Now, the members of Local 73 of SEIU won 7% wage hikes over the term of the agreement, as well as a minimum wage of $15 per hour for all members. The INA won a commitment from management to hire 160 full-time nurses to improve staffing ratios and secured fair wage increases. Not bad, not bad. Got to give a shout out here to the Chicago Federation of Labor under the leadership of President Bob Ryder, who's a member of the operating engineers. They've been very, very involved in supporting unions throughout the strike. They did a good job there, no doubt. Meanwhile, on Sunday, the Little Rock Education Association announced that its member teachers would not be showing up for in-person classes and would instead be switching to virtual learning. And here's the deal. The union cited failures of the schools to comply with COVID safety plans, like students and teachers not wearing masks, face shields not being used, over a third of sites not being properly cleaned or disinfected, and staff with compromised immune systems being required to teach in person in high-risk areas at their ADA accommodation sites. Wow! Not safe at all. Now, the Little Rock School District didn't take this lightly. They swiftly responded by disciplining the 69 teachers who sent in letters to their principals announcing they would be ceasing in-person instruction. In response, to the discipline issue, the union voted to call off the action. The Little Rock School District responded to the allegations, though most responses either recommended that individual safety violations be reported to the individual school's building supervisor or mentioned that the cited safety concern was an optional provision. So there's a little tug of war going on there. Hopefully they're going to clean up the place and provide the masks to the teachers as well as the students. We'll see what happens there. All right, we have to take a break. You are listening to America's Workforce, our segment with Rick Sloan, talking about the power of the jobless. That's next right here on America's Workforce. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong, we're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
You're listening to America's Workforce, and this next segment brought to you by the North Coast Labor Federation.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And we're back. It's America's Workforce, where we are available on various platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. And we ask that you subscribe to our podcast network. Eventually give us a rating, a five-star rating. And a lot of guests are tweeting out the show. Rachel Cohen was our guest yesterday, and she did an article for the Washington Monthly on what may happen should Trump get reelected to a second term, specifically on how it will affect workers and unions. Not pretty, not pretty. That show is also archived on awfradio.com. Before we get to our first guest, and he's going to talk about the presidential debate last night, so much is being said and written. I mean, in one word, chaotic. I mean, that's the best way you can describe it. Here's a one person that I follow all the time, Heather Cox Richardson, and she writes, "This was unlike anything we have seen before." Jake Tapper of CNN said, "That was a hot mess. Inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. He," meaning Donald Trump, "was his own tweets coming to life." We'll talk about who won the debate, who lost the debate. One thing is for sure, the American people lost. And then there's William Crystal, who is a staunch conservative pundit. He called it a spectacle, an embarrassment, a disgrace because of the behavior of one man, Donald Trump. The interrupting and the bullying, the absence of both decency and dignity, those were Donald Trump's distinctive contributions to the evening, and they gave the affair the rare and sickening character of a national humiliation. And a lot of the issue, I mean, think about this. There's millions of people out of work. What are we going to do for them? And I mentioned just moments ago about all this aid running out. It's only going to get worse. None of that was discussed last night. All right, let's go to our live line right now. Rick Sloan, who's been on the show before, author of the Union of Unemployed Workers, and the unemployed could have a big voice come November 3rd, and that's primarily what we're going to talk about. Hey, Rick, welcome back to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Flash. I'm glad to be back. And in Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, Lake County, and Lorain County.
That's right. That's right. We were the center of the political universe last night, Cleveland, Ohio. Rick, by the way, is Director of Communications and Public Affairs for the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers for a 12-year period. Also adjunct assistant professor at the University of Maryland, University College, Graduate School of Management Technology. He's now retired, author of, I'm counting here, 4 books. So before we get into the power of the jobless, did you take in the whole 90 minutes last night? And I'd love to hear your point of view, because you've worked on a lot of political campaigns, one of them Howard Metzenbaum years back in the state of Ohio. So what's your point of view here, Rick?
Well, I did watch every minute. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. At the end of the debate, I walked down to the refrigerator, got out a Ben and Jerry's chocolate therapy, and ate the entire thing.
You were probably not alone in doing that. My gosh. I don't know. I don't know. How do we frame the next one here going into this one here? And you know there were a lot of people last night. I'm sure a lot of them had to be turned off by what they saw.
I think many, many Americans were. I think many of his voters from 2016, not the hardest of the hardcore, they won't budge. But others may have second thoughts. Last night was a preview of his second term. Many will shift. In Ohio, many already have. I mean, he won Ohio last time around by almost 450,000 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Current polling puts him down about 250,000. That's a massive shift, and it's happening all across the country. But I think what we saw last night, Flash, was a 90-minute admission of defeat. He essentially conceded that he could not win. And as a raging narcissist, he did it in the only way he could, an act of self-immolation right on global television.
Mm-hmm.
He basically blew up his own re-election campaign last night.
So you're thinking a lot of the people that are on the fence, it's hard to believe they're on the fence, but they're out there. The independent voters, some of them, they voted for Trump. They're scratching their heads right now. Think he lost them last night then. Is that what you're saying?
I think he lost. He lost the folks who were on shore. There's not many of those left. When you're looking at the polling, basically you're seeing 3% and 4% undecided, which is highly unusual in a presidential race, even 5 weeks out. But what you're seeing, I think, will be what's happening not in the battleground states right now, but in the red states. He's underwater, not just in place of what, not just in Ohio, but he's underwater in, he's down a third of the vote in Kansas, in Nebraska, in Alabama, even in Mississippi. He is basically underperforming in Republican led red states. And nobody's really commenting on that. But the fact is that the polling from those states show him way below the high water marks that he hit in 2016. So mm-hmm. even Republicans across the country are saying, wait a second, our republic is more important than this guy. I'm worried about what America will look like after 4 more years. And I may go into the polls, I may vote for a Democrat, or I may just go to the next line on the ballot and ignore this guy.
Yeah,
but it's happening. It's happening all across the country. There are very few states, if you look at what 538 is doing in the polling that they reflect every day and publish every day. You're basically seeing him underperform in Republican states. And Biden is either performing at or performing above the 2016 levels. And that's creating this net margin that's right now approaching the level of Goldwater's loss in 1964.
So what I'm hearing here, Rick, is a Biden, almost like a Biden landslide. Are you comfortable pretty much predicting that right now?
I call it an avalanche, not a landslide, but yes. I think Biden will win by 14 to 16 million votes nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing in the battleground states is essentially a 5 to 7 point change from 4 years ago. So Florida, he lost by 2%. He's now up 6%. In mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, he lost by 0.7%. He's now up 11. In Michigan, he lost by 0.7%. He's up 5. In North Carolina, it's a 6-point change. In Arizona, Trump won by 0.6%. He's now 11 points underwater. That's a 14, almost a 15% shift.
Mm-hmm.
In Wisconsin, it's an 8-point shift. And I think that's carrying on, that pattern is carrying on and carrying through. With 5 weeks to go, with very few undecideds, I think this one's baked in.
Rick, what kind of effect will this have on the Senate? You think the Republicans might lose the Senate as a result of what you're saying right now?
They're already in danger of losing Colorado. They're in danger right now of losing Maine. I think they're also struggling in South Carolina, of all places. What you're seeing is a wave effect or an avalanche. And if it's like 1964, you'll see more members, Democrats, in Congress, and you'll see 5, maybe 6, a net gain of 5 or 6 in the Senate.
Interesting. All right, I got to take a break. Rick Sloan on our live line, taking a look at the election, and this is going to be a good one, no doubt about it. Mike Hazard will be joining us later in the show, talking about the VIP program. That's Veterans in Piping. He's the administrator of that program. Lots of good jobs available for vets. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
The Food and Drug Administration has recently reported that the heartburn medication Zantac is linked to cancer. Zantac has been linked to a variety of cancers, which include bladder, colorectal, kidney, liver, pancreatic, and stomach. So if you or a loved one took Zantac and developed any of these types of cancer, you need to call Kelly and Ferraro. 216-575-0777. Let me repeat that number.
216-575-0777 for a free case review. You may be entitled to compensation from the drug manufacturer.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And welcome back to America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Twitter handle, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Rick Sloan, author of several books, worked on a number of political campaigns, and also was the Director of Communications and Public Affairs for the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers from the year 2000 to 2012, also served as an adjunct assistant professor. We talked about the debate last night, and Rick has been going through the numbers, taking a look at a lot of states. He kind of covered that in our first segment here. I want to talk to you a little bit about how you're arriving at all of this. I was reading in one of your blogs about the effects of the pandemic. COVID-19 will leave one-fifth of the American workforce unemployed. And Rick, you know it's only going to get worse here if Congress doesn't do anything. Airlines are going to probably furlough about 40,000 workers. The Surface Transportation Act, which covers roads, bridges, our water systems, that's running out of money at midnight tonight. So we're talking like 40 million Americans on Election Day. Are these the people that are going to make a difference in the election? What's your thoughts on this, Rich?
Pew Research, a nonpartisan organization, came out last week, and they with a study on the unemployed. It was actually the first in-depth study of the unemployed since the Great Recession. There had been only one poll, a YouGov poll out in Missouri, that gave any inclination. But what Pew was saying was that the unemployed actually make up a quarter of the adult population, that another third of the population had seen their wages and hours cut. And 42% of the population lived with an unemployed or underemployed person. That jobless household was 42% of the adult population in the United States. You have to go and look what the adult population is, which is 255 million people, to understand that jobless households make up, by their polling, 107 million Americans. Now, not all of them are registered, but an enormous number of them will be going to the polls this year. In many respects, it's the same kind of numbers that we saw in 2010 during the Great Recession. And they're the surge voters. They're the folks that have been sitting on the sidelines for the last 5 months, waiting for a callback, waiting for employers to pick up the phone and say, we'd like you to come in for an interview, waiting for unemployment checks. And since August 1st, they've been waiting for a return to the $600 a week that Nancy Pelosi and the Democratic Congress pushed through back in March and early April. So they're dying on the vine. You know, they're waiting for someone to speak to them directly about their lives. And last night, the President of the United States never mentioned them at all. And when Joe Biden tried to talk about it, he was interrupted incessantly by Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. So what Trump fears is what happened to John McCain in 2008 at the beginning of the Great Recession. There was this massive wave of unemployed and soon to be unemployed people who basically shifted the politics of America overnight. They were young, they were black, they were Latino. They were the last hired and the first fired, and they knew the axe was going to fall. And they came out in droves and pushed Barack Obama and Joe Biden way up in terms mm-hmm. of the margins in those years. I mean, in Democratic states, they generated a net margin of 12 million votes. I think something like that is happening right now. They're waiting, they're hoping, they're praying, and as Franklin Roosevelt spoke about in the 1932 election, they are standing quietly in bread lines, and now in soup lines, waiting for someone to come and say, look, this is how we put 30 million people back to work. This mm-hmm. is how we get the folks that are now on unemployment getting a full paycheck once again. And in the next 5 weeks, I think you'll hear more of that kind of planning and thought process from the Biden campaign. I'm almost sure of it.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you this. The poll showed Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump 4 years ago. I believe there was some 4%, 5%, 6%, depending on the states. And then Trump won it. Now, she did win the popular vote, but she lost the Electoral College. How's this one different? I mean, we got the pandemic. We didn't have a pandemic 4 years ago. But is the pandemic the game changer here? And also, if you could speak to the polling. And a lot of people question the polling. What's your answer to that, Rick?
Kornacki last night on MSNBC had a pretty good answer. Basically, what he explained was that the polls going into the election had her leading by 3.2. She basically, because of the, and basically she won by 1.2. So the polls yeah. were a point and a half or so off. At the state level, they had ignored the difference between working class and white collar voters. They did it by ignoring education levels. They're not ignoring them now mm-hmm. because in 16 there was a great discrepancy between white voters with a college degree and white voters without. And they were lumping those at the state level in such a way that they undercounted. I think they've corrected for their mistake, the polling. I think what we're seeing right now may close a little bit, particularly in battleground states, the six battleground states. But that national margin is going to grow larger and larger. And right now, basically in the Electoral College, Democrats can count on 234 votes. You get, so 234 minus 270, you're somewhere in the neighborhood of 34 votes. So getting a Florida and a Wisconsin flips that number. Getting Texas, which is still in play, a couple of points, and another state like Arizona flips that number. But I think as we go back, there is this avalanche building, and there is a destructive speed to that that basically will blow through all of our expectations. We will see that states like Ohio, and I've done presidential campaigns in Ohio, so way back in the last century. I was in Stark County for the last month or so of the 1976 election with Jimmy Carter. And so I know the state pretty well. And my guess is that those folks that last night were appalled and were soft Trump supporters in 2016, they're gone, and you will see Ohio get closer and closer and closer to a Biden victory over the next 5 weeks.
All right. We'll see what happens here, just weeks away. Rick, great job. Thank you for your analysis. And I'll tell you, I'm going to let you go back to your retirement and that Ben and Jerry's. There might be another pint there left in your freezer, okay?
There always is.
You take care, my friend. Let's set up a conversation in November and we could dissect it all. How's that sound? Okay.
That'd be great, Flash.
Take care. Thank you for joining us today. All right. Rick Sloan, I'll tell you, he has worked on, and he mentioned Jimmy Carter. He also worked with Ted Kennedy, Michael Dukakis, Bill Clinton twice, Howard Dean, and Hillary Clinton from 4 years ago, as well as Barack Obama. Interesting guy. Great statistician, no doubt about that. All right, we're going to take a break. Mike Hazard is going to talk about vets in piping. And don't forget, you're listening to America's Workforce.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, is the most progressive, aggressive, and fastest growing union of construction workers, and one of the most diverse and effective unions representing public service employees. LIUNA members are on the forefront of the construction industry, a sector that is a powerhouse of 12 million workers producing 5% of our country's economic output. A half million strong. We're united through collective bargaining agreements which help us earn family-supporting pay, good benefits, and the opportunity for advancement and better lives. With Mobile Action LIUNA, you can get updates on your cell phone, find out how to sign petitions, and download union ringtones. Be a part of your union's political and organizing efforts by sending a text message on your cell phone with the word LIUNA to the number 69866. Through the LIUNA Action Network, you can stay informed about your union with a one-minute update and action alerts.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, as well as Spotify. Next segment goes to the United Association. Primarily, we're going to talk about veterans in piping. A little background on the UA. Dates back to the year 1889, when a Boston plumber by the name of P.J. Quinlan addressed a brief letter to Richard A. O'Brien, a plumber in Washington, D.C., and it read, "Dear sir and brother, I take the liberty of addressing a few lines to you to obtain your views as regards to the formation of a United Brotherhood." That's how it began in 1889. And today, the UA is affiliated with the National Building Trades and represents about 355,000 plumbers, pipe fitters, sprinkler fitters, service technicians, and welders in local unions all across North America. All right, let's go to our live line. And once again, join Mike Hazard. Mike is the administrator for the Veterans in Piping Program. And the whole idea here is to attract more people to the trades, especially vets. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Wow, thanks for having me on. It's great to be back.
All right, let's start with you and your background. I know we had you on the show before. Maybe you can re-familiarize yourself with our listeners. Your vet, talk to me about your experience and how you got involved in the trades. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I am a Navy veteran. I served as an aviation rescue swimmer for almost 12 years, about 100 years ago. And, I was kind of born into the UA. My father, my grandfather, my uncle, my brother, and myself, all UA members. And when it came time for me to transition out, I had a great safety net, and I knew about the UA, and work was good at the time, and everything went pretty well. But I know there were a lot of people struggled and still do to this day with transitioning out of the military. And when I got a chance to get involved in apprenticeship training and then later on the VIP program, it just was a perfect fit for me. I love my job, and I can relate to the stresses of getting out of the military being able to secure a position for our military men and women in the VIP program and a career in the UA. Yeah, nothing feels better. So I'm just happy to be part of it.
Now, was the VIP program in place when you got out of the service or no?
No, it was not. No, we had a program, and we still do, called Helmets to Hard Hats, which is kind of a web-based introductory to all the building trades. But like I said, I had prior knowledge. I actually was waiting to go into an apprenticeship program when I got out of high school, worked as a pipe tradesman for about a year, and then decided to join the Navy. And when I decided to transition out of the Navy, I knew what I wanted to do prior to. I wanted to go back into the trades. That's what mm-hmm. I wanted. And to work alongside my dad and my brother and my uncle was a dream come true for me, and that did happen. So
Are you seeing a lot of former military members, men and women, getting involved in the trades right now? I know the Helmets to Hard Hats program, we've done several shows on that, they've done a pretty good job, but I'm just wondering, you got a lot of people transitioning. Is that happening in America right now?
Oh yeah, there. That never stops. The cycle of people entering the military and transitioning out is a nonstop event. And whether the economy is good or bad, people are still getting out of the military and looking for jobs and careers. And that when we started, that's why we originally started, was because. Back in 2009, you know how it was. The economy was a wreck, and people were getting out of the military with nowhere to go. And a lot of them had over a year left on their contracts, and they were given 90 days after they got back from deployment to get their stuff together. And luckily, we were there. I mean, we couldn't help everybody, but that's kind of how it got started, was the high unemployment rate of the military, our aging workforce. We've got a pretty aging workforce that is retiring every day, and we just don't have the new skilled young men and women to replace them with. And, you know, and the best reason is because it was the right thing to do. And
sure,
you know, like our UA General President Mark McManus says, VIP provides our military men and women the ability to live with the dignity that they deserve. So, you know, at the end of the day, that's, you know, we self-fund this VIP program, and we take a lot of pride in what we do, and we keep our promises, and we have from day one, and we always will. So, you know, we keep it small, and we keep it to the point where we can go up and down with deployment schedules as far as class sizes to accommodate the amount of people getting out. So VIP is here indefinitely the way we run it.
We should give the website out. It's uavip.org, uavip.org. I'm reading there's like 9 VIP programs located in the country. Are they right on the bases? I'm seeing Camp Pendleton, Fort Carson, Colorado, Fort Hood, Texas. Are they right by the bases then, or what?
Yeah, what we've done is there's somewhat of a mixture. If there was space available on the installations when we set up our programs, that was our number one choice, was to be on the installation, because we knew that some of the junior troops don't have vehicles and don't have transportation, so it would kind of limit some of the target audience that we were going after. You know, the junior enlisted folks that really don't, maybe are in jobs in the military that don't have skills that translate to the civilian workforce. So being on base, yeah, at Camp Pendleton in California, we are on Camp Pendleton. We have a training site on base. At JBLM, we have a mixture. We have a Joint Base Lewis-McChord up in the state of Washington is the one I'm talking about. We have a welding program at our local Union 26 in Lacey, Washington, which is just 9 miles from the front gate of JBLM. And then we have a an HVAC program that's located on post at JBLM. So a little mixture there. And then you mentioned Fort Carson in Colorado. We're at local 58, which is right across Interstate 25 from the main gate at Fort Carson. So that works out pretty good. And if we could set up shop in one of our local unions, if it's close enough to the installation, it saved us a ton of money because the infrastructure is already there. So we can just piggyback with the local apprenticeship program and use their spaces to train.
Yeah.
But some of these installations are out in the middle of nowhere. You know, at Fort Hood, Texas is a good example. We're on the installation there, and we don't have anything nearby as far as the training facility. Fort Campbell in Kentucky. Actually, the installation crosses Kentucky and Tennessee. It's a huge base, and we have a welding program and a fire sprinkler fitter program on the installation there. And then our final two programs are on the East Coast. We have a welding program with the Marine Corps at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and we have another HVAC program with the Navy at Naval Station Norfolk. So we spread out geographically across the United States, and the installations that we're set up on, we confided in our military partners, the military leadership in all the branches, and asked them, you know, where are your major installations where you have the most people transitioning out? That's where we want to be. We want the biggest audience we can get. And we looked at our ability, the UA's ability to support training in those areas, and then also we looked for robust construction plans for the future, which means more jobs to put VIPs on.
Gotcha.
That's kind of how we picked where we went, and it's worked out very well. And we've graduated just over 2,500 students through our program since we started back in 2009. And, you know, that's 2,500 service members with direct entry into our apprenticeship program and guaranteed job placement when they arrive. All that is worked out by the UA about a month before the program is over. These folks already know where they're going. They have a commitment. They know that they're going to be directly entered into the program, and they're going to go to work on a date that they've picked.
Yeah.
So the only time we can't get someone where they want to go is when we don't have work to support them in the area that they request. So we work with our students on job placement. That's one of my most important responsibilities, and I take it very seriously. We've never missed once yet. We've always been able to. We haven't always been able to get people exactly where they want to go. But we've always been able to offer them a job close by, you know, and that's what I go to bed thinking about, and that's what I wake up thinking about, is that commitment. So it's pretty awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And the UA is such a huge organization with, you know, over 250 training sites across the United States. It makes the job placement part pretty easy. You know, this COVID thing has kind of thrown a wrench in the job placement part, but we've worked through it, and things are doing well.
That's awesome. Guaranteed job placement. Can you imagine a college saying that today, Mike?
No.
Just not going to happen. Yeah.
No. I made the mistake of telling my son that, you know, colleges should have to guarantee a job just like apprenticeship programs do. And he reminded me that not everybody goes to college for a job. So,
yeah,
just look, you know, the younger crowd looks at things a little bit differently, but we still have a lot of people that are interested in careers that are getting out of the military. And that's what we're offering. It's not just a job. This is a career. And it's got great benefits, great living wages, and their GI Bill is accessible through apprenticeship. So they do have access to some funds that they earned through the military, through the GI Bill, and that can offset their starting wages being, you know, a little bit lower than what they may be used to in the military. That's one of the great things about apprenticeship, too, is, you know, how many other jobs can you go to where you have a 10% increase in your wages every 6 months for 5 years. You know, it's pretty amazing. And it's been a life changer for a lot of these folks. And, you know, we get that kind of feedback. And we just think, you know, that these are the people that deserve to be on the job site and not waiting for a job. So that's why we do VIP.
Well, I went to the website. There's a lot of good stories there posted. And those of you listening right now, you might want to check them out and read the good things that are happening at the VIP program, Veterans in Piping. UAVIP.org, 6 welding programs, 2 HVAC programs, 1 fire sprinkling fitter program. All posted there, all good stuff. Mike, thank you so much. Very detailed, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people going to be checking out that website. So you take care and be safe and keep in touch, all right?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Proud to do it.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, our segment with Kelly and Ferraro. We're going to zero in on the Zantac recall and Senator Sherrod Brown speaking out. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.